We're on the second week of our church-wide study of thinking about what it means to live like we were dying. What does it mean to us if we knew that we only had 30 days to live? This has been our theme, and this is what we've been thinking about. How would it impact our lives? What kinds of things would we need to change if we knew that at the end of the month, we would not be here any longer? How would it affect our relationships with other people? How would it affect our speech, the words that we use? And that's what we're going to talk about today, is a line from the song that you heard last week and that our praise team actually is practicing. They're going to do it for us in a week or two when they're ready. A line from that song that says, "Sweet, speak sweeter." And that's the title of the message today, is Speak Sweeter. God has given us the gift of a voice. And with that voice, that miracle of the voice box and the vocal cords and that very intricate apparatus that we have to form words, we are able to form words to express our thoughts and our emotions. When we think of words, I'm reminded that Jesus is the living Word of God. In fact, if you study the language, the Greek language, and Jesus is referred to as the Logos. Logos means Word, and Jesus is the Word of God, the living Word of God. And that Word, as it says in John chapter 1, became flesh and dwelt among us. And so we have God's Word to us in the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is the one that expresses the complete Word of God to us. Today I want to share with you a couple of words from the Bible that form somewhat of the foundation of the message today. And it's two passages, one from Proverbs and one from James. Proverbs 18:21 says, "The tongue can bring death or life." The tongue can bring death or life. Think about that. There's a lot of wisdom in that, just like we shared with the children. Our tongues can speak ill or they can speak blessing. They can speak at this curse as well as blessing. And then James talks about, the book of James, the writer James in chapter 3, has a lot to say about words and the tongue and how our tongue is used and how it can, you know, words can be like a spark that can start a forest fire. But this week's passage says, James says, sometimes it, the tongue that is, praises the Lord and our Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. That would be one another. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. And get this, surely, my brothers and sisters, this ain't right. Oh, I'm sorry. This is not right. That was Sussex County coming out of me. This is not right. This is not right. The power of words. Think about it, what our words can do. Think about words that you have heard in your life that have either blessed you or have pierced you in your heart. I don't know about you, but I have heard both. I'd like to forget the ones that have pierced my heart. I'd like to just let those go and not remember those. And frankly, I can't bring any to mind at this moment, but I will never forget the words of my bishop on the day of my ordination down at Princess Anne in 2006. If you've never been to the ordination service of the United Methodist Church, it's a very powerful and moving event. It's a very holy moment where the ordinands are paraded up to the kneeler, and the bishop and the district superintendents and the accompanying bishop is there, and they lay hands on your head and they put your stole on your neck and they have something to say to you. And I'll never forget what Bishop Marcus Matthews said to me. I don't know if he said it to every ordinand or not, but I will never forget the words, "Fred, take care of your people, of God's people, and they'll take care of you. Take care of God's people, and they'll take care of you." And that has been so true. Even before I heard those words as a student pastor and as a part-time pastor, I knew that. But I needed that reminder. And you all and all my churches that Pat and I have served have truly taken care of us. But we want to take care of you as God leads us and calls us. Those words, those are the kinds of words that encourage us and help us. And I'm sure you have your stories, too, of words that you've heard of blessing that have been a blessing to you. If we only had 30 days to live, how can we make our words sweeter? What kinds of things can we do to help our words be sweeter and to lift up each other? I'd like to offer three suggestions to you today. First, I would suggest that we start appreciating people more. Appreciate people. On the back of your bulletin, by the way, there's a place you can write in these answers. You might want to take those back to your small group this week and maybe have some conversation around some of these things. Appreciate people is another way that we can speak sweeter. The Bible says, let your roots grow down into him, that is Jesus. Let your lives be built on him. And then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught. And you will overflow with thankfulness. That's from Colossians. The true mark of a disciple. The true mark of a disciple is an attitude of gratitude. A gratitude for all people. An appreciation of all people. And of the blessings that God sends our way. You'll recall the book of Genesis. It talks about Adam and Eve having everything they needed. They had everything. All the food they could eat. All the clean water they could drink. All the fresh air. All the animals to frolic around with. And yet they still were not satisfied, were they? They still wanted more. They still wanted that fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And that, of course, you know the rest of the story. But aren't we kind of the same way? We are never satisfied. We don't appreciate really what we have. You know, we're richer than 90% of the world. Did you know that? And yet we still want more. We still want more things, more stuff. Stuff isn't good enough. We've forgotten what it means to be content with what we have. And so, the same way with people, we need to be thankful for the people that God has put in our lives. And the Bible says to be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ. Being thankful in all circumstances. I did not say thankful for all circumstances. Thankful in all circumstances. We can't be thankful for ovarian cancer. We can't be thankful for horrific car accidents and things like that. But we can be thankful in those things because in those things we'll find God. We'll find God walking with us and carrying us and helping us through that grief and pain and suffering. Be thankful in all circumstances, Paul says. When people get touched by God's grace and get to live the life they don't deserve, hearts can be filled with gratitude. They smile more, they speak sweeter, and they speak words of gratitude. There's a couple of ways that we can actually put this appreciating people into practice. And this is one of your notes on the back of your bulletin. Say thank you to people who serve you. Say thank you to the people that wait on you, that care for you in some way. Have you ever thanked the garbage carriers, by any chance, the guys that pick up the garbage cans? We try to leave a Christmas gift out. Can you imagine what it would be like if we didn't have garbage collectors? How about waitresses and waiters? Are we showing them thanks with a decent tip? You know, Christians are some of the worst tippers in the world. You know that, don't you? Yeah. I try to give 20%. I don't know about anybody else because I know they don't make a lot of money. They don't. Some of you may be waiters or waitresses yourself. You know what it's like. Bless you. Being thankful and saying thank you to people like police officers or firefighters. Saying thank you to the person that checks you out at the Food Lion or Super Giant or whatever. Just saying thank you. It doesn't cost a thing to say thank you to people. Remember to say thank you to those who shaped you. thank you to those who shaped you. What people in your life have been a spiritual influence? Which people have been an influence in your life? Unfortunately, some of the folks that I'd like to say thank you are dead and gone. Never had a chance to say thank you. Maybe I did at some point. But we've still got people in our lives, beginning with our spouses. I'm certainly thankful for Pat. I know you're thankful for your significant other, your husband or wife. Thank you to people like teachers, professors, pastors, or Bible study leaders, or someone who has had a tremendous impact on you and have shaped you to be the person that you are today. Just say thank you for having an impact on my life. Let your words be sweeter. Let your words reflect a grateful heart to the people that you meet and come in contact with this week.